So when Dave asked, I'm not actually sure what my favourite Christmas movie is, because I like loads of Christmas movies, but I'm just going to share Fun for Arthur Christmas, because I do like this one. It's got a whole... But I could have done four talks out of this. If you watch it, you might be able to spot what they could have been. How many of you haven't seen Arthur Christmas? Okay, a few. So let me just introduce or remind you of the characters and a little bit of the story. You've got Santa, self-explanatory, and his wife. You have Steve. He is Santa's oldest son. He is in charge of Christmas operations from Mission Control at the North Pole. He is highly organised, task-focused, and he wants Christmas to be run as efficiently as possible with all the latest technology. You then have the elves, who help Santa delivering all the presents in a Mission Impossible style so that they don't wake anyone up. You have Grandpa, called Grand Santa, who was previously Santa but is now retired. And then you have Arthur. Arthur, the namesake of the movie, is Santa's younger son. He receives and reads all the letters that come to Santa and replies personally. He loves the heart and spirit of Christmas. He has a real childlike nature, and all he longs to do is to fully enter into and bring the joy of Christmas to everybody. And just so that you can see, I made the effort to rise to Rich's challenge of dressing. Here's my Christmas Arthur, best I can do, jumper, and my Christmas slippers. You have to watch the movie to see the relevance of the Christmas slippers, but you'll see Arthur wearing them there. So anyway, let's have a little bit of a look through the story of the movie. In the run-up to Christmas, as you saw, Arthur was reading a letter from a little girl called Gwen, who lives in a small village in Cornwall. We hear what she wants. She wants a pink twinkle bike with stabilisers, as well as sending Santa some questions and a picture. Then roll forward to Christmas Eve. You have Santa and the elves going out on their high-tech sleigh, delivering presents all over the world, while Steve manages them from Mission Control on the North Pole, of course. And then you saw in the trailer the countdown. It goes from a high number, all the presents that need delivering, and it counts down to zero. When it gets to zero, Santa and the sleigh and the elves return home, and the celebrations of another successful Christmas begin. But, as you saw, whilst an elf was cleaning up in the wrapping area, she discovered an undelivered present. What you didn't see on this is that Steve decides that this doesn't matter because this is just 0.00000000154834% undelivered, and that doesn't matter. Arthur, however, feels quite differently, and he goes on without Steve's support or any of the technology on a mission facing all manner of challenges to deliver this one final present before the sun comes up on Christmas morning. So what I'm going to do is share some of the things that struck a chord for me and hopefully will encourage us all. So missing anyone was just not acceptable for Arthur.
The child's been missed!
Not necessary.
A child's been missed!
Do you want to wake up the whole North Pole?
Good idea!
A child's been missed!
Doesn't his passionate response and the mission that he then goes on remind you of another story? Doesn't it just remind you a little bit of the shepherd who goes seeking after the one sheep out of the 100? So I feel that this, how this story is told is a little bit like looking through God's eyes as that shepherd, that longing to gather all of his people into the safe arms of his flock and to make sure they receive his gift of grace. Maybe just like Arthur was upset here, actually, that their Christmas mission was not successfully completed, hadn't been finished. Maybe God also feels like that, that his gift, giving mission is not yet finished, and his family gathering is not yet complete. I wonder if for God it feels in some way, if we imagine that someone's missing from our Christmas table, or that we've lost contact with someone that we love and they haven't received our gift. I wonder if in some small way that's a little bit of an insider into how God feels when he hasn't gathered everybody to himself. I imagine just that heartache of it, but also the hurt and pain that missing one person will be suffering without the gift of love that he has for them. That's the tenderness of God.
In 2 hours, she's going to wake up, tear downstairs, search under the tree, and the look on her face. But there's nothing there. She won't understand. She'll think she's the one kid in the whole world that Santa doesn't care about. She'll feel so left out.
And we know there's nobody in the world that God wouldn't want his love to reach. What does the Bible say? Matthew 18 says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" And Luke 15 says, "I can guarantee that there will be more happiness in heaven over one person who turns to God and changes the way he thinks and acts than over 99 people who have already turned to God and have his approval." God's love is overwhelming. And for him, it's always worth pursuing every single one. No reservation. Just close your eyes. The incarnation at Christmas, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus would have happened even if it was only for you. You can open your eyes. That should reassure you, all of us, of God's love for us individually. It's also a reminder to us that if we have family or friends that aren't yet sitting round God's table, that his heart is breaking for them. And that he wouldn't just want to wake up the North Pole, but the whole of creation to make sure that that isn't the case. That should just be an encouragement. But there's also a challenge in it for us to hold tight to our faith that that is the case, never doubting that it's too late for anyone. And maybe stepping into that challenge of being part of trying to share that love gift with everyone, just like we've heard earlier today. So every single one, with tenderness and unreservedly. Now, do you remember that countdown in the movie with all the numbers counting down to zero?
Oh. Someone got the wrong present. That's awful.
Who says it?
No one gets the wrong present. 47785BHK. Gift undelivered.
They got nothing.
Can you see what the elf looked up on there? The elf looked up 477858XK. That's really impersonal, isn't it? It's just a number. I cannot imagine that God has a display like this for the angels to see, counting down, of the number of grace gifts that have been delivered through human history to hearts of people. Can you imagine? Don't think so. Nor do I believe that God sees any of us as a number one like that missing sheep. The sheep didn't have a name. But actually, to Jesus' first century audience, to give the sheep a name would have been a little bit weird. It was just to tell a story, to make a point. But for Arthur, this wasn't just about a number either. It was personal. Arthur knew the child was missing was called Gwen. He knew where she lived. He knew the question she had and the desire of her heart for a pink twinkle bike. She mattered to Arthur.
Sir, we know you shouldn't believe rumours, but we do.
Is it true you missed a child?
Me? No, no, no. Well, in a way, yes. It was just one. In fact, not even that. Naught point, lots more naught, then a number and some sort of percent at the end. Not really an error, just a one.
One child doesn't matter. Which one?
Well,
I did 9 ones in Greece. Did those ones matter?
What about my ones in Germany? One of them was twins.
The elves are exploring a really important question here, aren't they? Does that one child matter? Is it just the delivery of the presents that matter? Is it just achieving the mission, ticking it off? The mechanics of how the delivery happens and that number gets to 0? Or does each child who's on the other end of the gift matter? Now, I know you know the answer to this, and you'll know these verses really well. So in Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. In Matthew 10, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. This is total, in-depth, personal. Just like Arthur and the elves saw each and every person, the elves said, I delivered to these in Greece, and what about those two in Germany? They knew each of them individually, and they believed that they mattered, what the gift they were giving mattered to that person. So God is personal in his quest to deliver his grace gift to every person. That's an encouragement to us, right? We should feel totally full of God's love through that. But there's also a challenge for us, as a church and individually. Maybe close your eyes again. It's a time for when God can speak to us sometimes. Is there truly, honestly, uncomfortably, an individual or a group of people that we even subconsciously feel don't really matter or matter less than others? Okay, open your eyes. Even looking through Arthur's eyes, this wouldn't be the case, let alone God's. Maybe we could all just, over the coming weeks, ask God to show us if there's anyone that we think matters less or that we haven't really been trying to show God's love to in the way that he'd like us to. Because actually it will be a joy for them, it will be a joy for God, and it will be a joy for us. We know when we see God work, we sense his joy in us as his children. Let me tell you a little bit more about the rest of Arthur's mission. Oh, 2 more words. This is personal. God seeks us personally and individually. Arthur ropes in Grand Santa to come and help him on this mission to deliver the present. He uses the old low-tech sleigh with old-school reindeer, and he had to battle through all manner of setbacks. And then later on, when it gets towards the end, actually, the North Pole Mission Control Centre had to get involved, and Santa and Steve had to bring out the new high-tech sleigh to help. The whole resources of the North Pole were made available. In the same way, the whole resources of heaven in abundance are used by God to reach his children in the world. It is an abundant, relentless pursuit of delivering that one gift to that one person today.
North Pole incoming.
Sir, the soldiers have shot the sleigh.
But sir, it's Arthur. He's still going.
Arthur?
talked earlier about how long things sometimes take, and Dave's story of, you know, some time later this is happening. That's a little bit how it is. You know, it takes the relentless pursuing of God to reach people. People don't respond like this. In the film, this is all happening overnight before the sun comes up. Gwen has no idea that any of this is happening because, of course, she's asleep. Arthur moves heaven and earth, or rather sleigh and reindeer, to ensure a child wasn't missed and that gift delivered. But God can really move heaven and earth. But we don't know about everything that God is working on in the heavenly realms. It is often, or actually I think nearly always, beyond our sight, or even our inkling that anything is happening. And yet in Romans 8 it says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sometimes there are some things to overcome, and sometimes it just takes a little bit of time. But God is working, and the things do happen. And that should just encourage us to keep watching, to keep praying, to keep going, and to trust God's unseen ways. It's also a challenge for us not to give up hope, not to feel that anything is just not happening because we don't see it, not to feel that maybe God isn't doing anything, not to feel that God doesn't answer our prayers, but also not to stop sharing with people, not to stop doing what we think God has gifted us to do in sharing his love with others. Keep going. You have no idea what resources of heaven he is using in the background. Now, in the film, this is all about delivering the gift of a pink sparkle. I've forgotten again. Sorry. Relentlessly, abundantly. I did this to break it up, so if someone else was having to do this, they'd have a break point between the videos. But I forgot. So in the movie, it's about delivering that gift of a pink sparkle. Twinkle? Sparkle? Twinkle bite. I can't remember. But God's gift comes to us not as a pink twinkle bike, which I have not yet received, I have to say. It comes to us as his eternal gift of grace, of forgiveness, of healing, of freedom, of peace, of joy, of reconciliation, and our restoration to a heavenly identity. And that gift all comes wrapped up in the gift of Jesus. And of course, we are approaching Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus, remembering Jesus Emmanuel at Christmas time. But this is where, yet again, the Bible trumps the message of the movie. This film revolves around what happens on Christmas Eve. But God's gift comes to us every single day, not just Christmas Eve. And I've got one final thing that I will encourage and challenge us with. Sometimes I think we feel, we worry about, or we feel like we are the missing one. We feel that we're missing from God's side. We feel that we have missed out on receiving his gifts, can't we? It can catch us unawares. Sometimes we get lost in our present troubles. We get confused in times of doubt, like Nikki talked about. We get turned around by unforgiveness and bitterness. We lose our way through temptation and becoming accepting of spiritual sinful habits. We get pulled away from the shepherd by worldly ways or spiritual challenges that are influenced by our enemy, just like Rich talked about the other week. It's so easy for this to happen. God's gift is there for us always, but sometimes we've believed a lie, that we've been missed, that maybe we don't deserve it, and we don't even accept the gift. It'd be like having Amazon knocking on your door, and you look at him, and you leave the door closed, and you don't receive the gift. It's a little bit like that, and sometimes we're like that. Other times, we are so busy looking at ourselves or everything else, that we haven't realised that God's gift is sitting there. We haven't even noticed it. We've got it, but we haven't got it. At other times, we've received the gift. It's sitting here on our lap or in our hands. I haven't opened it. We don't know what it is. We're not making the most of it. But we've got the gift, but we haven't. I wonder where you are. I wonder if there's a gift that God has put in your hands, or he's put under your tree, he's put in your heart, and you're not making the most of it. So I'd said at the beginning, God's pursuing of us to every single one comes. Can anyone remember what they were? Any of the words? Unreservedly, tenderly, personally, individually,
relentlessly,
abundantly, because they're on the screen in front of you. If any of those encourage you, praise God for his indescribable gift of himself. If the challenges have spoken to you, why don't you ask someone to pray with you? And I'm going to open my gift. Because I shouldn't stand at the front and have a gift that's unopened, should I? And I'm going to share them. Open them and pass them round. Okay.